in the name of Jesus. Well, it's that time of year where basketball is in full swing, and of course later today we have the end of football season. We have the Super Bowl. Hopefully you'll have some nice warm soup in the midst of the cold weather. But in all of these sports and in many others, there are things known as extra points. It's the main points, right, that comprise the bulk of the score with which you would then win a game. For example, in basketball, anything inside the arc that you made as a basket is worth 2 points, right? And outside the arc, it's worth 3 points. But if you happen to be fouled while you're in the process of shooting, or if the other team has accumulated way too many fouls, you get a chance at it's called a free throw, right? And free throws are only worth, do you know, 1 point at a time. But oh, how they can add up, correct? A team could take up to 20 free throws in a game, perhaps more, but that would be a total of 20 points. That could be a game changer, right? Why, some of you that have played basketball, your coach would make you spend literally, hours throughout the week doing what? Shooting free throws, because they're important. And in football, you know as well, after you score a touchdown, which is worth 6 points, you get what's called the PAT. What's that called? There you go. You following me with this? And that's worth how much? 1 point. Or you can choose to go for 2. Oh, yeah. You guys are, you know your sports, don't you? You're all ready to go for the Super Bowl this afternoon and sub-districts which are coming up. So we have all these extra points that can be scored that can truly make a difference. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. In our text for today, Jesus tells a parable about a sower, literally a farmer, if you will, who is going to plant seed in the ground. It's as simple as that. And this farmer here is going to go out and he's going to sow his seed. He doesn't have the big, I don't know, what are they, 12, 14 rows now? How big are these planters? They're huge. So all he's got is his hand, which means he's going to have to actually take the seed and he's going to have to stick it in the ground. And I'm sure this farmer, because all farmers would do this, some sort of soil prep, correct? And even back then in Jesus' day, they had farming implements. They had hoes, and they would stake out certain parts of the land where crops would be grown because there's more moisture. The soil is better than somewhere else. I'll let all of you agronomists and farmers deal with that. But that's what they would have done. In the process of doing that, Jesus says, this happened. Some of the seed fell elsewhere. In the process of sowing the seed into the ground, of doing the work that the farmer, the sower, is there to do, there is seed now that falls in 3 different places. Did you catch that? There's seed that falls along the path. There's seed that falls along the rock. And there's seed now that falls along the thorns. Now, those 3 places are not good places for seed to be, for obvious reasons. I don't think we need to explain that, do we? Seed requires good soil, it requires good moisture, requires the ability to put down roots and be able to grow and flourish and produce that which it's supposed to produce, depending on what type of seed it is, right? You're not going to plant corn and expect to grow soybeans, or soybeans and expect to grow corn. Every seed has something now unique to it that it's going to produce. Hang on to that thought as well, because that's part of what Jesus is getting at, maybe not in detail, but it's there. Because God has created you uniquely who you are. Before he's formed you in the womb, he knew you, had plans in place for you. And sometimes, of course, well, that can change. Not God, but you and I can change, because this side of heaven there is free will. God knows what's going to happen, but he desires good and has good plans for you. But how often we go our own way, which is kind of what these three situations with the seed talk about. Now there is, if you will, a fourth one, and that's when the seed happens to fall upon good soil, which could mean either, number one, the soil that the sower was originally intending to plant the seed, or it could mean this is just good soil that the seed happens to fall in while he's going about the business of sowing. Are you following? So kind of what we're talking about here, kind of with the main points that you might score in a basketball game, twos and threes, and touchdowns being worth 6 points, the main point here of this story is that the sower has come to sow the seed, period. And the sower, of course, is none other than the seed himself. Remember back from Genesis 3:15? There is one specific seed, one offspring that is promised. A son. A son is promised. And a son, as we hear throughout all the Old Testament, will be given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, as Isaiah writes. This will be the one by whom now all are measured. He will be the plumb line. He will be the cornerstone. He will be the stumbling block upon which many will trip and fall. This seed now that has come, as you should well know by now, is none other than Jesus Christ, your Savior. He has come, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem you and me who are under the law. You and me who often find ourselves in desolate places. You and I, whether it's by choice or whether it's by sin, death, and the devil that are around us and affect us, end up, well, in rocky situations. We end up with things being snatched away from us as the birds of the air came to devour that seed. We end up with thorns in our life, sometimes because we grow those thorns ourselves. Sometimes because the thorns that are growing over here in our family or our culture or our neighbor creep over into our lives, and we don't trim those bushes very well. We let them come in and we let them invade our homes and our minds by the things we do, by the things we think. But yet in the midst of your sin and mine, there remains this seed. The seed that is God's word, which is why Jesus says quite clearly that those who hear the word and those who hold it fast in an honest and good heart, they are those who now will bear fruit. But notice he adds, with patience. So initially your question with this text might be, well, what am I? Am I rocky soil? Am I soil that is full of thorns? Am I soil where stuff is being plucked away from me beyond my control, where there's no moisture? What type of soil am I, or am I good soil? Well, that's kind of why we do the confession and absolution right at the beginning of the service. You see, your soil and my soil, not good. It's all those things. But none of it is good. Your soil and my soil, that which we are born with, is, well, a product of sin, death, and the devil. That's what sinful nature or original sin truly means. And this is tough for people to grasp. It's tough sometimes to look at the little kids because they're so cute and they do just the darndest things, don't they? Yet they are little sinners. And they are quite selfish, right, mom and dad? They don't think about mom and dad's feelings and mom and dad's schedules. And they need the seed. The only seed that can bring about good things. That's why through the rest of our text here today, especially from Isaiah 55, we hear about now this seed. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. And that word shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. It shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. You see, the Lord has this wonderful ability to take lives of yours and mine that are full of rocks and lack of moisture and birds that are pecking away, to come into now your life and mine of sin, of death, and the devil, and now to bring times of refreshing. To actually come in and do that which agronomists would do today, or back to the very first part of our story, to do that which coaches attempt to teach their players to do. To learn, to grow. And it's only by His work, it's only by His word that this miracle of miracles can be done. It's only through His power and strength that one can overcome sin in one's life. I've known many in my young life, it doesn't seem quite young anymore, but those who have struggled with all sorts of addictions. And I've been there to hold the hand, I've been there to witness sometimes the effects of just absolutely dumb decisions. And I've been there to love and care for that person and their family, but one of the great joys I've had as a pastor is watching people recover from those things. Watching people overcome addictions, overcome sin itself, but never on their own, never from just within themselves, but with the power of the seed that is the Word of God. Because that seed now brings something that is so important for each of us who find ourselves born with bad soil. The seed has come to shed His blood and water as well that poured from His side as He was pierced, to now cover, nourish, provide sustenance for you and I in the midst of this life. That as we open our little mouths, as we kneel before Him, He feeds us with, well, I guess you could say fertilizer, but fertilizer has other connotations, doesn't it? He feeds us with that which we need. He bestows to you, not because you've earned it, not because you're such a good person. He forgives you. Your Father in heaven forgives you and desires now to preserve you, promises to do just that. And it's all because of the seed that has come, the seed that is Jesus Christ, your Savior, who suffered and died now for you, who endured desolate places, Golgotha, a place of rocks, birds, those who would peck away at the work of the Word. He who thirsted there upon the cross, thirsted as a seed would cry out from the ground for water to nourish it, that it may bud and flourish. But because He was the seed, just as He was planted into the ground in that stone-cold tomb, so life broke forth that glorious Easter Sunday morning. And so the Lord promises you, in the midst of the acknowledgement of your sin of repentance, that there is yet good soil for you, that there's yet a Sabbath rest to come. And part of that Sabbath rest, well, it's good to see all of you here on this cold, snowy day. It would have been a lot easier to stay home. I was a little late to church today myself because I was hoping none of you would show up. Such is the way of sinners. But the Lord comes and gives us what we need. And we hold this word fast. We hold this seed fast. And we have patience, for he will yet do good work for you and for me. And so as the sower sowed, yep, some fell. Some fell away. Let us not be that seed which falls away, but rather clings to that word and has the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and good fruit, service to God and to our neighbors. God grant us this for the sake of Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.